This Sunday, we're calling a checkup, Sunday checkup, or kind of thought of it as a reminder day. It's an opportunity for us to really to take stock of where we are now as a church, what has happened and where we are now. And this process of our vision that we're focusing on as a church was prayerfully and thoughtfully considered by the elders, by the deacons, and by us as a church family. We met together, we prayed together, we thought and talked together about this over a long time. It was birthed out of looking at the scriptures, which is the key, and thinking about things like, why do we exist as a church? What are we here for as a church? And on August the 7th this year, at our 38th church anniversary, we agreed and committed as a church to this vision. So let me remind you of what this vision is. Our purpose. We said our purpose as a church, Westview Baptist Church, exists to bring glory to God as a community of faith in Western Sydney. This is why we exist, our purpose, our meaning, our chief goal, our pursuit, to bring glory to God, honor, praise to Him, which leads us into our mission. If this is our purpose, what is our mission? Our mission is to make passionate disciples of Jesus. And this is what we're about. This is the way that we seek to bring glory to God in everything that we do. We are about being passionate, and so making passionate disciples of Jesus. That is who we are. That is what we do. We seek to make passionate disciples of Jesus. And so we paused and we asked and evaluated, you might remember, the things that we value as a church, actually before we did this, our core values, and through that process we added to these and saw the importance of these. They were Bible-centered teaching, loving one another, becoming more like Jesus, life as worship, prayer, making Jesus known. And so, birthed out of who we are as a church, why we exist here as a community of faith, for God's glory, making passionate disciples of Jesus, we prayerfully and thoughtfully considered outcomes that we want to see, that we want to work towards, that we'll give our time and our prayer and our energy as a church towards. And this is what we said. Our vision. In our healthy church, where the truth gives birth to worship and fruitful living, we see people wholly dependent on God in prayer. The gospel transforming the lives of those around us. Each person using their God-given gifts. Leaders being raised for ministry, and people being sent in partnership. And this Sunday is an opportunity for us as a church to take stock at how we are going, but also to re-energize, to reinvigorate us in this vision. Well, going through those five outcomes, I want to suggest that firstly, we've grown in holy dependence on God in prayer. I think that we've grown in this and we've focused more on this, and especially Lee has spent a lot of time leading us through a series on that and thinking a lot into prayer, and we're very thankful to him for that. We did 100 days of prayer, and if you joined us for that, I hope it was a great encouragement to you as we partnered together in that. We've started a Thursday church where we focus our time together on prayer, and that's been a huge encouragement to me personally. I hope that you're finding your dependence on God in prayer something that's growing in your life more and more and more, and as a church that we're growing together. But how can we keep growing in this more? Well, one way, Lee has done, again, been thinking into prayer, and he's come up with this great idea, this daily devotions that we're going to be starting next year. So you'll hear more about this. But essentially, we're reading through the Bible, through the New Testament and the Psalms next year together. We're going to have booklets that we'll hand out so you can take home. They'll have a space for you to write any reflections you have that you want to write down, and also an opportunity in this to pray together, and some suggested ways that we can pray together. With the help of Gina, who's obviously designed it, and Suna, who's going to be putting the content in, we'll have that done very soon and we'll print them off and get them to you. But that's just one more way that we're thinking next year we can grow in our holy dependence upon God in prayer together. Because we are together. We are a church family. Can I encourage you strongly to do that? We'd hate for anyone to miss out on that opportunity together. And more will be said in the coming weeks. But just to have us thinking together. The gospel transforming the lives of those around us. I always find this a hard one to evaluate. But I think if we think of things in our church community that we're doing, of course, I hope there's things in our lives that we can think of. But I think of particularly the friends group that meets here on a Wednesday, and there's weekly opportunities there that people are hearing something of God's word. They're having relationships built with them with people who love Jesus. Opportunities for friendships to blossom, a time of prayer together. And I know, having gone along, just what a wonderful time they all have. But the gospel is transforming the lives of those around us in that. The men's group is a monthly thing that's more about building bridges that happens over at the Doonside Cottage. Thanks especially to David Rollison, who's been helping out with that particularly. Our scripture ministries, the Wiggling Wombats that we're going to hear about a bit later on. Can I encourage you especially about the scripture ministries, though? Because something we don't often think about is, oh, well, if I'm working during the week or if I'm not there, how am I partnering in that? You're the one that does that. Well, actually, Tony, Wendy, Steve, and I, along with Bay and Bernie and Alex, who go in there and are physically present, we rely upon your prayers. And so I just thank you for your partnership in that. And it's just as important that you're praying for us as us physically being there and going along. So please be encouraged to pray for us. And we're partnering together. Remember Paul's words to the church in Philippians, how he talks about how they partnered with him through their prayers and through their help. So thank you so much. How can we keep growing in the gospel, transforming the lives of those around us? How can we keep growing in this? Let's be thinking and praying and talking to the elders, talking to the deacons. Let's talk with each other about how we can keep growing in seeing the gospel transform the lives of those around us, transforming our community, transforming people through the gospel. People using their God-given gifts. I've mentioned Gina a few times. I don't think she's here, so I can mention her probably even better. But she's just been a gun this year, and it's just been awesome to have her using her gifts. She's obviously gifted by God with illustrations, and you can just see, even like this is just an example of her genius and the bulletins that she's been doing for a long time now. We're just so thankful to see that. But it's easy again to see some of these concrete ways. Let me mention some other things where people are using their God-given gifts for His glory. The musicians, thank you so much. The chair setter uppers, the Wiggling Wombat group helpers that come along, the food bakers, the people who spend time cooking and bringing it along, those who bring food, those who seek to listen to people as they share about their week, maybe hard things they've gone through, listening, and that gift of listening and caring. The prayers that are never mentioned at home that you pray for each other, thank you for using that. The administration that sometimes people don't see, the people who are involved in that. The gifts of other things, the gifts of money that you give. The projector man, the communion man, and the people that help them out. There's so many more. The maintenance men, the people who look after our property, people who clean our building, thank you so much. Let me encourage you and thank you in your service. Let me encourage you with Peter's words. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one who speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Two more. Leaders being raised for ministry. This is not just leaders, not just elders of the church who are being recognized. Of course, we've seen that happen in me, and we're thankful to God for that. I'm thankful to Him for that. But it is those who lead our church in matters of administration and finance. Alan and Andrew and Lee, Tony Kenning and David Rollison and Matt, who help so much around the property and lead us in the care of our property. Those who lead us in serving needs in such a way that supports the elders in their role. And we recognized Tony and Lynn last week in this, and the other deacons who do this. Those who take up leadership in matters, those who lead the Sunday school kids. Thank you so much. We're seeing God do this. We're seeing God do these things. Let's be thankful. Lastly, people being sent in partnership. Mission. This year we've formally recognized our partnerships, which I think has been a wonderful thing. We've recognized our relationship with Allison, with the Beck family, with the Ailings and with the Darringtons, and now specifically with Tony and Wendy. We've affirmed this covenant with them just last week. What does that mean, you might ask? What does that mean, this covenant? What's the idea? Well, already Tony has been included in the Greater West for Christ leadership team, which is the Baptist Association's regional arm in Greater Western Sydney. Already Tony has been involved in supporting churches and pastors through problems and conflicts. And this is a huge need everywhere, unfortunately. But it's a wonderful thing that we can provide through Tony and Wendy and through their service in this way. Setting him aside for this gives him greater freedom to be involved in this ministry while continuing to give his time to the health of our own church as a much valued elder. I'm personally so incredibly helped and mentored by Tony. I'm very thankful for you and for Wendy and their family and the way that they care for me and so many of us. Tony has in the past been involved in the intentional interim ministry out at Blacktown, and he's open now to have more of those in the future. Him and Wendy, this is something that they've been set aside for. Our goal as a church is to partner with them and with our other partners to support them and care for them as they particularly support other churches and care for them. We want to provide care for them and support. So there's a brief overview of our purpose, our mission, and our vision. It's something you might feel like you've heard a lot, or maybe you haven't heard at all. But wherever you sit, I hope it's encouraging to see how God is bringing some of these things to pass. We do need constant reminders, though. We need constant reminders. We need to be, I think, as a people, I know I need to be, re-energized, reinvigorated in our purpose and a mission and vision as a church. I want to help us in this by looking at this passage in Matthew, which really is, this passage in Matthew, the end part, the Great Commission, really is what has birthed this idea of making passionate disciples of Jesus. So have a look with me again at verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." I want us to realize here three things, or to re-realize them, three amazing things here. Realize, firstly, Jesus' authority. Realize also Jesus' task. And lastly, Jesus' presence. In this, there's three main enemies to these things. Jesus' authority, his task, and his presence. I think I feel like there's three main enemies to us as Christians. Indifference, distraction, and fear. Indifference. Indifference in that we just lack interest and concern for the task that Jesus has given us. We know we have a task, but we just don't care about it. Reaching people with the good news, teaching them to obey everything Jesus has commanded, we just simply don't care. I have to say, if that is your attitude this morning and you simply don't care, you really have to come back to square one and ask the question, am I a follower of Jesus? am I even a Christian? If you are simply indifferent to Jesus' words here and his task and his aim for your life and for his kingdom, then I would have to say you look like you're outside the kingdom. Because Jesus tells us that his sheep listen to his voice and they follow him. He knows them and they follow him. If you are indifferent to Jesus' words here, to his call on your life, then you are in great danger in hearing those words from him, "I never knew you." The next enemy that I see is distraction. And we get caught up. We get distracted by so many things, don't we? We don't make his words here, a priority in our lives. We let other things take so much of our time and money and energy that we have almost nothing left to give to this priority of Jesus and his kingdom, his call on us here to make disciples. And those distracted may at times also need to ask, am I really a follower of Jesus? Is he my king? But we may also need simply to repent, turn back, take up our cross and follow our master. We can all get distracted. I get distracted. But lastly, and I think the biggest one probably amongst us here, is fear. Fear. The fear of the task that Jesus has given us. The fear of the message, of being rejected, of it being awkward. But all of us here, wherever we sit, we need to realize these three things. Jesus' authority, Jesus' task, and Jesus' presence. Realize Jesus' authority. Jesus says here, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Wow. Do you realize what that means? If we believe that to be true, this is speaking about all authority. Not some, not most, not everything except what the devil controls, but all authority. Every single bit of authority is his. It has been given to him by his Father. All of it. And this word here has the idea of right to control or command, authority, absolute power is the idea. Jesus has been given absolute power and control. Not Herod, not Caesar, not Donald Trump, but Jesus Christ. He has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. It has been given to him, the Son of God. What is the proof of this authority? What is the proof that he has this authority? Well, Eric has just read out to us that he rose from the dead. He was dead, but now Jesus is alive forevermore. He is risen. Actually, later in Acts 17, Paul will speak about how Jesus' resurrection from the dead is the proof that God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by Jesus. In Romans, we're told that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery or dominion over him. In Ephesians, we're told in Paul's wonderful prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, that God's incomparably great power for us who believe, he says there, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Christ, our Lord Jesus, has been raised from the dead and seated now at the right hand of the throne of God, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given to anyone for all time. There is no one greater than him. Everything has been placed under Jesus' feet, under his control. Christ Jesus is over all things. What does the one who is over all things and with all authority in heaven and on earth, what does this all-supreme king call his people to? Well, just as we need to realize here the power and the weight of Jesus' authority, we need to realize his task for his followers. We are called here to go just like his original disciples and make disciples. Of course, we all play different parts in this mission. Some of us are hands and feet, some are arms. We are a body. We are gifted differently, each of us. But we are all called to make disciples, to live for the kingdom, to purpose our lives and direct our energies and focus into making passionate disciples of Jesus for God's glory. Are you doing that? Are you living for that? Is that your focus in your life? How are you growing to make it your focus, your life aim, more and more? To know Jesus and to make him known. We see here that this is an invitation. This message of the gospel is an invitation to all nations. And this is why we care about mission work in Turkey and Mozambique just the same as we care about mission work in Doonside. Just as much, because all are invited. God has in his Son, the Lord Jesus, invited all peoples of all nations and all languages to come into relationship with him through his Son, the Lord Jesus. We see here that we're to baptize those who believe, who put their faith in Jesus. And baptism is an outward sign of an inward reality. When God opens our eyes to see and behold King Jesus in his glory, and we put our trust in him, he causes us to see our sin and our need for the Savior. We put our trust in Jesus as Savior. We're baptized simply as an outward sign of an inward reality, an expression of this heart reality that has already taken place. So if you follow Jesus as Lord in your life and you've not been baptized, come speak to me or to one of the elders. We'd love to talk to you about baptism. Now here we see that baptism is in or into the triune name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the original language here in the Greek, this is one name. It does not say into the names, plural, but into the name, singular, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one name. Three persons, one name, one God. And Jesus tells us here, baptizing them into the triune name and then teaching them to obey or to observe everything I have commanded you. The idea of obey or observe has this idea of teach them to persist in obedience, to keep on being obedient. Teach those who believe and are baptized, teach them to persist in obedience in everything that Jesus has commanded. Sometimes as Christians, I think we can shy away from this sort of language, or we run away maybe from anything that talks about doing things as a Christian. And we rightly and truthfully profess that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. However, as James has reminded us recently, works must accompany faith, or that faith is in fact dead faith. It's not alive. How do we know if we're Jesus' disciples? Well, we've been reading in 1 John, we love one another, we love him, we walk in the light, etc., etc. Do these things in themselves save us? Of course they don't. But our persistence in obedience to our Master Jesus shows evidence of the new birth that has already taken place through God's Spirit in us. It is the fruit on the tree that shows that we are a tree that is alive and healthy and growing. And so we realize here Jesus' authority and Jesus' task. But lastly, notice here Jesus' presence. Realize Jesus' presence. You know that you may be thinking as I've spoken about these things that this task that Jesus gives us, it's somewhat overwhelming. I've certainly felt that a lot. It's an overwhelming task for Jesus to give us, isn't it? Living a life that's all about making passionate disciples of Jesus. Living a life for the sake of God's kingdom in all that we do, in all that we think, in all that we say. Are you scared of that? It can feel fearful and scary. You know, if you or I look within ourselves, we have great reason to fear. If we only look at our gifts, our power, our persuasion, we have great cause for alarm and fear, and actually for despair. But realize this morning, O follower of Jesus, he has not left us alone in this task. His promise to his first followers is the same promise to us today. I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Again, in the original here, the word is behold, see. It's supposed to get our attention. Behold, Jesus says, behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. You might find yourself this morning in one of these camps. Maybe you're indifferent. You lack interest and concern for the task that Jesus has given. You don't really care about it. Well, you need to realize Jesus' authority. This one who was born in Bethlehem as a baby and died in shame on a cross, he is risen. He is enthroned at the right hand of the Most High, and he is coming back. Jesus himself tells us the story about the wicked servant, the one who was entrusted with something by his master, but lived as if he hadn't been entrusted at all. If you're living as if Jesus and his call to make disciples is unimportant, or at best secondary, can I warn you this morning in great love and earnest with Jesus' own words to one of the churches in the book of Revelation? He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Fearful words. Thankfully, our Lord Jesus gives this church here in Revelation, and you and me, if we find ourselves indifferent, he gives us a solution. He goes on to say, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I'll give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Wow. If you're indifferent this morning to Jesus, just don't care. His call to make disciples, if you're indifferent to him and his call, repent. Realize the authority of Jesus who calls us to choose sides. You're either with him or against him, on his side or on the losing side. Realize his authority and submit yourself and all you are to him, to his lordship. Turn to God and he will have mercy on you. He will change you. He will make you new. Today is the best day to do that. But maybe you're not indifferent this morning. Maybe you're distracted and you just need to hear and realize Jesus' task. You need to realize his call again on your life, on my life. His call to make passionate disciples of Jesus for God's glory. His call to live to God's glory in everything that you do. Come back to the main thing. Come back to the main thing. Put aside those distractions, those things in your mind, in your life, and even maybe some of those things you're doing with your time. Put them aside. Leave them behind. That are distracting you from our purpose, from our mission as a church community. Put them aside. From Jesus' mission and all that he calls for us. Leave them behind. Take up your cross and follow your master, not in dredge and sorrow, but in joy and delight. Let's keep following him together. And when I get distracted, you help me. And when you get distracted, let me help you. Let's help each other. We get distracted. Let's pray for one another in this, that we might be passionate disciples of Jesus, who are all about, in everything that we do, making passionate disciples of Jesus. But maybe it isn't indifference. You love Jesus, and you want to live each moment for him, and maybe you don't even feel that distracted. But it's fear. It's fear in your heart. Realize this morning, Jesus' presence. You don't need to fear the task that he's given you, that he's given me, that he's given us. You don't need to fear the response. Jesus himself is with you. He is the one, Jesus is the one in all authority, overall, not our fear. Don't let your fear be authority. Let Jesus be. You may remember the story in Matthew's gospel where Jesus, he tells his disciples that it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, he goes on to say it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And we read there, when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." We must realize as a church, as individuals, that this task is impossible. It is an impossible task. Left to ourselves, left to us to save the world, no one would be saved. We must have the authority and power of Jesus at work through the gospel, through his Spirit, the one who is mighty to save. We must have the presence of Jesus to be with us always, or else we would fail in this task. We would give way to fear and discouragement and despair. It is the authority of Jesus and the presence of Jesus that gives you and me all that we need for the task of Jesus. A task that is impossible for us, but not with our God. All things are possible for our God. That is why we're here this morning, is it not? That is why I am here this morning. We testify that God did the impossible in us. He did it in me. I was dead. And now I'm alive in Christ, all by his power and his grace, not of my works, not of my goodness. I cannot boast. I've been struck this week with the frailty of life. And no doubt I'm not alone. My brother-in-law was hit in a car while he was crossing the street, and other people would have died in the same accident. And he thankfully is fine. Amazingly, he's still in pain, but he's okay. He was hit by a car, maybe 50 or 60 kilometers per hour. And you think, life is so frail. We are here today and we are gone tomorrow. We have seen many among us struggle with disease and illness for a long time. And I know this is something fresh in our hearts this morning. It is easy to believe the lie that our bodies will live forever. Maybe it's not so easy for you. Or else we get so distracted that we take little time to focus on eternity, on what matters, on where we will be forever. Our King Jesus is coming back. And whether that is before all of us here go on ahead to meet him or not, our time here is very short. Brothers and sisters, we must live for what matters. We must strive and press on for what matters. We must take up here the call of our King Jesus and continue on making passionate disciples of Jesus for God's glory. teaching them, teaching each other to persist in obedience to our King in our lives, encouraging one another on. We need to realize and keep on realizing Jesus' task to us. But we must realize His authority and His presence that gives us all the strength and comfort that we need. Let's be wholly dependent on God in using us to make Jesus known. Let's do all we can to choose the things in our lives that will grow us as passionate disciples of Jesus and leave the rest behind. Let's live for Jesus' kingdom. As we close, let me read the words from 1 John. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God, the person who does the will of God, lives forever. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for the reminders in your word. I pray for those of us who might feel indifferent to you, that you would work in our hearts, that you would open our eyes to see and treasure Jesus above all things, that you would refresh us all in joy in you. Father, for those of us who are distracted, I pray that you would bring us back to your call to make disciples, and that you would remind us, those who are fearful, that we don't do this alone. It is your power, it is your authority that saves people. It is your presence that goes with us and gives us all we need, Father. So please fill us with joy and encouragement this morning, and not fear and despair. We thank you for the hope we have in Jesus that goes far beyond this world, that goes far beyond any disease or any death or anything that can touch us, Father. Nothing can separate us from your love, and we praise you for that hope in Jesus' name. Amen.